Welcome to Poke the Bear Podcast. We are here to expose the lies that this culture uses to manipulate this generation. Interested? Have a listen.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dante.
Hey, and this is James coming to you. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. How you doing? You good?
I am. You know, it's we're going through some times right now, but for the most part, you know, I'm blessed and I'm here and I'm just excited about, you know, giving the students just some additional information that they can take and learn with.
No, definitely. So let's just go ahead and dive right into it. So we are talking about dating. We're still in dating step four, unhealthy dating. And today our subject will be teen dating violence. So yeah, we're really going to jump on that because we want to make you aware of the statistics and also make you aware of what positions you may be in, situations you may be in, situations that you may not even realize that you're in, and help you navigate through getting through that so you can still live the best life possible, that go for the goal life.
Yeah, man, that's so solid. I mean, I think many people, they get involved in relationships and sometimes they jump right in and then, you know, they don't protect themselves. They don't set good boundaries. And then when that happens, it can lead to this unhealthy dating. And that's what we're just going to talk about today is just, you know, some ways that things that are out there that you don't really recognize.
Right. Definitely. And that's why it's important. Like we said, you know, boundaries is probably the most important thing. If you learn anything through this program of Go for the Gold, is to implement healthy and safe boundaries to protect yourself, to protect your future.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm excited about it, man. So on those boundaries, let's just hit that. I know we probably already hit it once, but when we don't take our time, when we don't trust someone and we don't give them permissions and our boundaries get crossed, it often leads to an abusive relationship. And that's where we're going to jump into today is abuse and giving you some information about that unhealthy dating statistic about abuse. So Dante, what are those four?
All right. So we call it VEPS, just so you can remember it. And it usually starts off in that order, verbal, emotional, physical, and sexual. Abuse never starts off where somebody's just outright hitting you. It usually starts off with the verbal, leading to the emotional, then the physical, and then possibly the sexual. So you have to be aware of these things. Like James said, you can't rush into these relationships because then those situations can put you in those abusive relationships. Again, relate things that you never intended. People always say, I never intended to be here. I never intended to be here. But oftentimes we miss flags because we don't take our time. We don't make somebody earn our trust, and we give people permission too quick to get through those boundaries.
That's solid, man. So V, verbal. So verbal abuse. It's like when someone is really, things that are coming out of their mouth, they're verbally abusing you. They're saying things that they shouldn't say to you. They're doing things to you, just really downgrading you, using bad language, just really putting you down. So they verbally abusing you. That's what we call from the V in VEPS. The V is for verbal, coming out of someone's mouth, verbally abusing you, calling you names, using derogatory language, using bad language, bad words to really make you feel really bad.
Then we have emotional. When it comes to emotional, think about the grooming tactics that we discussed earlier. When you think about grooming, their job is to control your emotions. By controlling their emotions, control you. So saying whatever to break you down, and know that emotional and mental, they're like cousins. So I mean, they kind of work hand in hand. So we just say the emotional because the emotional affects the mental. So someone who may act insecure purposely, or someone who may act angry purposely, or even trying to use sex equal love, or he's always using sexual words. And these are grooming tactics. These are red flags that you need to be looking for. So that's the emotional, hitting on your emotional side where it starts affecting you mentally.
Yeah, and then that physical side, right? The P meaning physical, hitting, punching, kicking, really a physical abuse from a standpoint of putting their hands on someone, really grabbing hold of them and going through a physical abusing. And sometimes a physical abuse, a lot of times these groomers, they won't always physically abuse you where it's visible. They'll physically abuse you where you can't see it. So on your arms or your legs, and if you're wearing long clothing or you're wearing long pants, you won't be able to recognize that. But that physical abuse, someone is really hitting you. So anytime someone hits you or someone spits on you, someone kicks you, that is abuse and that is not warranted. Now, what's that S?
That's a sexual. That's pretty much inappropriate touching, forcing someone to have sex without consent. If you, I mean, like we have a video that we play called "Consent is Everything," and it is. If the person did not give you permission to go that route or to touch them that way, then yes, that's sexual abuse, and you have to be careful. And it's okay to say no. It's okay to say no in these situations.
It is. So VEPS, so verbal, emotional, physical, and sexual, all related to the boundaries that you set. You have to communicate your boundaries to someone. If someone crossed your boundaries and it wasn't given permission, you have to let them know that it's not okay. It's not okay. So
Definitely.
let's talk about who is getting abused. Dante, what's those stats about who's getting abused?
Okay, so they say 1 in 5 teens report being abused every year, whether it's hit, catch, slap, punched, pushed by the person that they're dating. So 1 in 5 teens,
So
and
hold
this
on,
is where
hold on.
you really,
Dante, you said 1 in 5?
yes, 1 in 5, man.
So like if that was like 100 people, you're talking about 20 people in a room
Yeah.
would report? Wow.
Would report. But imagine the ones who never report it. So you think that number might double or triple? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. So you're saying it's more people that don't report it?
Yeah, I'm sure it's more people that don't report it because in today's society, abuse has become a, not necessarily, I don't want to say norm, but it's overlooked. Or, oh, that it's okay, they're going to change.
Good point. Good point. So you're saying more people don't report it because they think that that person may change, or they don't want to get that person in trouble,
Right.
or they might tell a friend before they report it. And report it meaning calling the agency. Is that right? Like we just call a number or report to a person of authority where they can then take care of it. That kind of what we say when we report it.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about when we report it. Let the counselor know, a teacher know, another parent, or even the authorities, let them know so that this can be taken care of, so that you can get out of this situation.
I got you. I got you. All right, cool. So we know it happens, but where does it happen? Where is the most, I don't even want to call it appropriate, but when it's reported, where do they say it happens at?
Typically, it happens in the home. Of either the abused or the abuser's home, because that's where the abuser feels more comfortable. Let's say if I was an abuser and me and my wife were at a friend's house for game night, and let's just say my wife got us losing bad, and I'm very competitive, and I'm like,
Right.
"Babe, what is you doing?" And then I just mug her because we keep losing. Do you think that my friends are going to allow this to happen?
Yeah,
No.
that's a good point.
Yeah, they're not going to allow this to
Nope.
happen,
Nope, not in front of
and that's
everybody
because,
else.
yeah, not in their home, but in my home, guess what? No one can stop me. Or in her home, no one can stop me. So again, in the home where it's secluded, where you're comfortable as an abuser.
Gotcha. So with that, and then it's happened there, and I just heard you say like a game night. So you're probably doing this in the evening time. So then you get
Yeah.
upset, and then you're not going to do it there. But when you get home, now you may abuse her. So that time that someone is abusing is that 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. That 12-hour mm-hmm. window is the time when it's reported. And I often think about, you know, why that time? Now, why is that time so, you know, so unique? And you just mentioned it about, you know, you may go home after a date night or after dinner. You may have been out, like adults may have been out, and they may be consuming beverages, or you may have been at a party, right? You may be at a party. Even teenagers, high schoolers go to parties, right? They always go to parties and they mm-hmm. always hang out and have things. But also,
usually at night.
Yeah, usually at night. But also what has happened nowadays too is that parents may work multiple jobs. And because of the way the economy is, often like a parent may work a day job, they may come home in the morning, and then they also may work an evening job. Therefore, you know, that groomer knows that schedule of that parent. And then when that parent goes to work, you know, the boyfriend, the girlfriend may post on social media, yeah, I'm home alone, I'm bored, nothing to do. Then that groomer may just shoot him a note, say, hey, you know, I could come on over. So we often have that. Are there any other reasons why that time is important?
You got to think about it. People are asleep around that time. And that's the time where you're normally relaxed and supposed to be, you know, you could be asleep. But even at around that time between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m., you got to think about it. Most crime happens at night. So a lot of violence takes place at night under the cover of darkness. And then most people are in their own home, so they can't really necessarily hear what's going on in someone else's home.
Gotcha. That's a great point. Hey, man, I wanted to share this, too. There's some relationship trouble signs, and I know we have these Go for the Gold books out there, but I just wanted to shoot this out there real quick. So relationship trouble signs. So have I been cut off from my friends? Meaning, like, has this person just strictly cut me off and I can't hang out with my friends. I can't necessarily see my family like I used to. You know, do I fight with this person all the time? So is like one of those grooming tactics anger or intimidation? Are we fighting all the time? Is my attitude toward my future goals and plans changing? That I have aspirations to go to college, but now this person is trying to hold me back. Does this person get jealous when I talk to others? Do most of my friends and family disapprove of this person? Does the other person do or say hurtful things that say they can't really mean? Then I'm gonna stop here. But do I change around this person so that he or she will accept me? Oh, and am I afraid of this person? So think about some of the grooming steps that we also talk about and how they could effectively or eventually lead to an abuse situation.
Definitely. I think about like people who use, which tactic is it? Let me pull it up real quick.
Yeah. While you're doing that, I think the repetition one, if that's mm-hmm. where you were going, but the repetition one with abuse, it seems like it's like at first you may think, oh, it's just, you know, it's just a one-time thing. But when it happens over and over and over again, it just keeps repeating itself. It's like, that's when you know, oh, he's abusing this. And anything you think about when you abuse something, you normally abuse something because you do it repeatedly. And when you do something right. negatively, repeatedly, it's being abused.
And then even with intimidation, I think about intimidation where the person, they intimidate the person to do whatever they want, whether it's using their size or strength or even their status. They intimidate the person. So, when we think about one person can have every last one of these grooming tactics and they can use this grooming tactic on one person, especially if you are emotionally weak, because that's what groomers, their job is to go after somebody who's weak, and groomers turn into abusers. All right. And you got to be careful of groomers turning you into a groomer, because we've all been groomed. We've all been in a situation where we may have even been the groomer, and it may not have been purposely, but you kind of, it works for you, so you kept doing it. But it's important that we are aware of these grooming tactics, because these are things we're trying to avoid so that we can still have a successful life. So we don't have to go down a path that we didn't, that we never intended or chose to really go down. So let's talk about, let's transition a little bit. Well, let's go over these few things real quick. Remember, just to reiterate, remember being in the home, when you're in the home, you don't always want to be isolated in the home. But also, you want to make sure that you are not always in the home when you're dating someone. Because, again, a groomer's job, an abuser's job is to isolate you, keep you from keep you from other people, keep you a secret, keep other people from knowing what you're what they're doing to you. So get out, go on dates, hang out with friends, spend time with people. Another thing is being out too late. Most places close by between 11 and 12 at night, and being out late, guess what? We don't have nothing to do. What can set in? Boredom. So boredom can set in. We can end up doing just anything. And when boredom sets in, sometimes doing anything without a plan can put us in a position to put ourselves in harm. If you have a plan, you stick to the plan, the plan can keep you safe.
Ah, good point. Good point. I like that. I like that. Also, I'm thinking, man, what do you wear? Like what you wear? You know, sometimes what people wear would attract the wrong type of person and maybe deliver the wrong kind of message. So got to be careful on what you wear and where you hang out at. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was agreeing. Like, definitely, you got to be careful of what you're wearing, and not saying that, oh, don't wear what you don't what you wear, but you got to be careful what you wear, because what you wear could attract attention that you weren't even looking for.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point. And then what about when you go out, right? You have friends. They have a kickback now, right? They have a kickback. And they're right. Just hanging out, you know, watching TV, watching movies, playing games. But then there's potentially alcohol that comes involved. How can alcohol play a negative part?
Well, alcohol lowers your inhibitions. So that good guy, bad guy, which one you think you're going to listen to? That bad guy.
Bad guy.
That alcohol, like, when I was in school, what we called it back in the day was we called it liquid courage. Give you the courage to do things that you typically wouldn't do. All right. So it can impair your judgment. Hence, when someone gets behind the wheel of a car and they start driving, the vehicle is no longer a car. It is now a weapon. Mm. So that's something you have to be aware of. It slows your reaction time. Response time, your reflexes aren't as fast. And then alcohol is easily accessible anywhere. You can get it dollar store, restaurants. Some people's parents have alcohol. I mean, think about it. Some carnivals, just different places that we can get alcohol in.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, alcohol use, I'm going to read this, by the victim or perpetrator or both has been implicated in 43 of 69% of sexual victimization incidents among college students. You know, 90% of acquaintance rapes on college students have involved alcohol. I mean, that's a huge number because it's so readily accessible, but it just lets you know that you got to be careful when you're consuming alcohol. Yeah.
And when you said acquaintance rape, people, I don't know that people understand that. That means that's somebody that you're familiar with, all right? That's somebody that you know. That's somebody that you've talked to, that you probably may have spent time with. So, again, you still have to be careful because alcohol can put you in a position where you can be abused or become the abuser. Yeah. Now, I do want to give a few tips. And think about it. In college, everybody's not 21. I'm not saying that I condone underage drinking because I don't. All right. But I'm not going to say that underage drinking isn't going on. But if you decide when you are 21, when you decide you want to drink, there are a few tips that I want you to help keep you safe. Because alcohol is the number one gateway drug. Alcohol can put you in a very bad position or put you in a position to be the person that harms someone. So some tips that I give is if you have a drink, you sit it down. Don't pick it back up. If you have your drink in your hand, Make sure that your drink, wherever your eyes go, that's where your drink goes. All right. Always keep your drink in your eyesight, not in your peripheral, but in your eyesight. Also, keep your hand over top of your cup if you have a bottle, thumb, or finger on top. Also, ladies, let's just be real. You're going to be offered free drinks for the rest of your lives. Okay. All right. This is going to happen. You go out to a bar, you go to a party, you go to a club. Somebody might offer you a drink. All right. Now, remember, he said acquaintance rape is from somebody that you know. And a lot of times it comes from alcohol being involved. So what I'm saying is this, be careful of accepting drinks from just not just people that you know, but even strangers, especially strangers. All right. So I have a saying, if you didn't watch them make it, don't take it. All right. If you didn't watch the bartender make or the person behind the counter make the drink or the person make you a drink, don't take the drink. All right. You have to be careful. Another tip is know your tolerance. If you can only drink those two drinks, be careful. Also, another tip that I give is to make sure that you have somebody accountable with you if you go out and you want to drink. All right. Now, safest place to drink is at home. All right. But if you decide you want to go out and drink, have somebody with you that can help keep you safe just in case you do go over that tolerance. That way that person can help you get back home, be the designated driver, things like that.
That's a good point. Good point. You know, and one thing that I will add is, you know, as we're looking at different ages of drinkers, you know, if you're not of age, like you were saying, don't drink, you know, go out and don't drink out of a cup. You know, if you're not of age to drink, then go out with a bottle of water or go out with a bottle of soda, something that you can drink out of and put the lid back on, because that lid is going to protect you from anybody dropping anything into your beverage of choice. So just be careful with that.
I totally agree. All right, let's hit our last point, which is talking about internet and social media and how, and even electronics, how they can put us in a position to be harmed or in an abusive situation.
Yeah, you know, when you think about electronics and social media, I think about how often we're communicating now. It's not necessarily communicating voice to voice. So another one of those grooming tactics is, you know, sexual words. And it's like, what is someone saying and how is it coming across? So often somebody may send you a text, or they may send you a picture, and depending on how you react to that message or that picture is going to determine how that person that's trying to get past your boundaries is going to react towards you. So be very careful, be very diligent on A, who your social media friends are, and then B, what are they posting? What are they saying? What are they doing? Who are they hanging with? Because that's going to determine if you want to continue to have them within your circle or you need to push them back out further.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. And you got to even be careful when it comes to social media. Again, things get lost in translation through text message, DMing somebody or somebody inboxing you. You have to be mindful of that. So when I think about like Instagram and Snapchat, we live in an age of social media, and social media has really like taken over, and it can be the major thing that we spend more time doing. And it can also put you in a position to be harmed, sending out pictures to someone. I think that's one of the biggest things that as teens, you really have to be careful, because you have so much life to live, but sending out inappropriate pictures can put you in a position to where you could lose, you could, it could resurface. Because once you put something out on the internet, guess what? You can't get it back. you cannot get that. Right. Once you hit send through a text message, guess what? That's still part of the internet. You can't get it back. All right. No matter if you delete it and it's deleted on the end, guess what? It's still out there in cyberspace. So you have to be mindful of that. Sending nudes to someone, especially as a teen, that puts you in a position to be possibly labeled a sex offender, because that is a federal crime. It's called sexting. You're underage, and because you're underage, it's child pornography, right? And that is something that you have to be aware of, whether you send the pictures or you receive them. If you get caught, that could end up, you could end up getting hit with that hit with that crime of being labeled a sex offender. And that's one thing that you do not want on your record, because guess what? It can be put you in a position to where now you can't get jobs, you can't live in your schools, you can't even go visit your kids near that go to the school. You can't be anywhere where kids are. And they say if you can't have kids, you can't adopt kids. So it puts you in a very bad position. And think about it, even with jobs, jobs are about the integrity of the company. So say if a job heard that you were a sex offender. Now, mind you are a great worker. You do everything that's asked of you at the job. But that one thing they find out, that could potentially cost you your job. All right? Because again, the company's job is to protect the company, not just you, but to protect the company. And if they feel that your past or your criminal record is going to harm them, more likely you're going to be the person that gets fired.
And man, that is such a good point. And that's just from a job standpoint. But I also tell my student athletes, guys and girls, be careful on what you put out on social media. Sometimes a scholarship, whether it's an athletic scholarship or it's an educational scholarship, academic scholarship, could be taken away from you based off of what you put on
Yes.
your Facebook, on your Instagram, on your Snapchat. Just how are you portraying? Because when that school gives you an opportunity to come represent them, they don't want to have a negative representation. And then that goes to yourself, that goes to your family, that goes to whoever your circle is. Your brand could be affected by what you put on social media, what you connect with on social media. So don't let that hurt you for the rest of your life. Remember, the most critical decisions you make are between ages of 15 and 30, and some of that could be who you connect yourself with.
I totally agree. I totally agree. That's a great point right there, because many students want to go to college. Many students want to play in the NFL. Many students want to get that big money. What we say, get the bag.
Secure the
You want to
bag.
do all these things, but it's steps that you have to take to get there. And even in those steps, you have to be careful of what choices you make to achieve that goal. And the last thing you want to do is make a decision or something on social media pops up from your past to where now it's affecting your actual future.
Right on.
So it's important that we are mindful of that.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, I think we had a good conversation, on the topic of unhealthy dating, and abuse specifically, and how abuse and not recognizing abuse could definitely affect you for the rest of your life. So, what do you think, D?
Yeah, I think we did. We covered a lot today, and we do appreciate y'all coming in and listening, because this is an important topic. Teen violence has definitely risen. I mean, it's in everything y'all watch, from TV shows, movies, social media, even your music, and even your video games that you play have violence in them. So we just want to make you aware of what's going on around you, so that you can make informed decisions about your future and your life. We want to make you aware of situations that you may be in that can harm you or harm the future that you're trying to achieve. So, again, going back to boundaries, I don't know how many times we're going to say this, but your boundaries, those are important that you protect them. Use those boundaries to protect yourself, protect your future. So, you want to secure the bag, secure your future, have
Amen.
boundaries.
So, I'll end with this, like I do whenever I'm in every class, I always say eyes wide open. And that just means be aware, be alert, be attentive to your situation, to your surroundings, and to your opportunities. Sometimes you have your eyes closed, you miss out on opportunities, and you run into situations that you don't want to be involved in. So keep your eyes open.
All right, well, we appreciate y'all listening.
Go for the gold.
Thanks for joining us on Poke the Bear Podcast. Join us for more at our website, go4thegold.org.